You are now listening to Asking for a Friend with Talk Doc, sharing insights through real, honest, and practical ways to improve your communication and relationships. Featuring your hosts, Dr. Pamela Kreiser, Meredith Edwards-Nagel, and Taylor Palindo.
You know what matters?
What matters?
Is that I am 33 and I finally have a desk.
I thought you were going to say that your daughter's sleeping more.
Oh, that matters more than so many things.
So we need an update
on her.
Yeah, because you said you're mainly having conflict with her.
I mean, no.
No.
There was a definite moment. I reached out to Taylor once, actually. I don't even think we told you this, but I had a hard week of my life there where, and I'm still uncertain, but I was sure that Tommy was getting a vasectomy that week. I was done. No.
Okay, but you can't make any decisions on children within the first year.
I think that's true.
Because it's just all crazy.
Your first. Because then you have to have the reverse, too. You have to have the vasectomy and then the reverse vasectomy.
I'm fine.
Snap.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Why can't they do that? No, it's getting better. Then it's this magical day happened, and she decided that she likes to sleep all night. And then I decided that my love for her would grow. I still did it.
Wow.
Anyway, that's enough of that. I am officially in Babyland, but for real, it took 2 years. We're here, but I have a desk. I have a room. I can talk to you guys.
Amazing. Amazing. Love it. We're back talking about conflict styles. As a preview, one of the ideas was that we would go over the styles one more time real quick in case you haven't heard the last episode. So if you haven't heard it, we do encourage you to go back and listen to it, episode 72. But if you want to just get a catch up, here's the catch up. We were talking about two axes that you and I face in communication. And that is, do we want to be assertive, more assertive or less assertive, and more cooperative versus less cooperative? So how that translates is into five conflict styles that vary in their assertiveness or cooperativeness. So let's go through the five styles real quick. So when you're low in both, you're avoiding. So that means low concern for self, low concern for others. If you're mid, you're compromising. So that would be medium concern for self, medium concern for other. Now the extremes are a little more interesting. So when I have a high concern for other, but a low concern for self, that would be accommodating. And when I have a high concern for self and a low concern for others, then I would be in a competing style. And then if I'm high in both, I would be collaborating. Now, the question you might be asking yourself is, do these styles vary? And the answer is absolutely they vary. But what we're asking is the question about what style do you prefer? And then on this episode, how do we work with other people who are in the same or a different style preference than we are? I thought it might be fun to go back through the styles and maybe talk about what happens when you're very high in one versus very low in one. So the other day, a student came up to me and she said, I never would do any style except for accommodating.
Wow.
And I said, well, that's interesting information. And she said, I know. So let's talk about what happens when we're very high in a certain style and then maybe what happens when we're very low in that same style.
So if you're high in competition, you might ask yourself, are people too quick to agree with you? Are they unwilling to disclose information to you? Do they have a fear about kind of being vulnerable with you because you might use it against them? Hmm. Are your goals clear? I remember talking about that. And are you underestimating other people's desires?
Kind of sounds like you're painting a picture of almost a bully.
Yeah.
If you're extremely high, right?
No,
right.
Two of you were. I take that
back. We'll talk about with this, it sounds sort of just with the words used to describe each one. Some sound more positive and some sound more negative, mm-hmm. but these are all tools and they all have a place, a time and a place to be used. So
yeah,
one is neither good nor bad. It's just a tool set to you, right?
Yeah,
but we're talking about extremes and extremes are not as flexible. So we would want to say that. So what about when we're super low in competitiveness?
So if you score low, you want to think to yourself things like, are you noticing you have less power, significant less power? For example, when there's a time and a place where you really need a firm stance on something or to be assertive, are you unable to do that even when it's needed or necessary?
Mm. So standing up for yourself. So you sort of have too much standing up for yourself and not enough standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
So the next style is collaboration. And you might ask yourself if you discuss issues that don't need to be discussed, like don't deserve to be discussed.
Okay, so that's when you're high, very high in collaboration.
So if you're low, the thing you may think to yourself or wonder is, in a certain conflict or in many conflicts, is it hard for you to see that both people can have a winning stance or can be right even?
That's kind of interesting because I think of the collaborator as the person who can't let things go if they're really high. Everything's sort of a big deal. Do I see your hand, Meredith?
My hand was up until you said that.
If we're low, maybe we don't even envision a way for everyone to win.
So you just give up.
Yeah, that both people can have a position that's correct, which is quote-unquote winning.
Honestly, I think true collaboration is where we could find alternatives that would satisfy us both to a high level.
Yeah. So I like that. I don't like the thing you said before that.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
Moving on. Compromised? Are you high in compromise? If so, do you see compromise as the ideal or the only way to manage conflicts? Mm-hmm. Do you have to have resolution? Do you like gamesmanship or strategizing? Are you often frustrated? Do you inflate your needs or goals?
Are you talking to yourself, Taylor?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I was listening to the list and I was like, wait, I think I heard this on a different episode, this exact thing. Okay.
I want to hear more about that later. Okay, so if you're low on compromising, if you find that you don't compromise often or it's hard for you to do it, you may want to think to yourself, are you embarrassed to bargain over certain things? So embarrassment may come up. And do you find it difficult to make concessions? So if you're low on this, it's really hard for you to bend, maybe is another way of saying that, to lead
yes.
to another person.
That's really good clarification. I like that. So hard for you to concede to another point of view or another solution to that problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Taylor's biting of her lip.
Just got me. We've already had so far, you've raised your hand, Meredith, and Taylor just has looked guilty the whole time.
Okay. What are we on? Accommodation?
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're high in accommodation, I have some questions for you. Do your ideas or needs fail to get the attention they deserve? Do you not contribute as much as you could? Do you suppress strong emotions? Are you influenced by culture or organizational norms?
Yuck.
Do you have a high fear of punishment?
So Taylor doesn't relate with that. Yuck.
Yeah, we've decided last episode she isn't very accommodating.
Yeah. So if you're low on accommodating and you don't find that you don't accommodate with others, you can think or wonder, are you having trouble building goodwill with other people? Are people sometimes saying that you're unreasonable? Be honest with yourself for that. Do you have trouble admitting when you're wrong? And do you know when to give up?
Mm. Or maybe even give in?
Our last style, avoidance. And if you're high in avoidance, you might wonder, do others know what you want or how you feel? Do people want eggshells around you? Are decisions often made by default? Do you suppress strong emotions? Are you unclear about what you want? Do you sometimes feel powerless or unworthy? Oh, no. Do you have a high fear of punishment?
That's interesting to think about because remember we said because these aren't right or wrong conflict styles, sometimes you use them more often in certain relationships or less in others. So maybe that's something to look out for. Are you wondering if you're going to be punished in a relationship just because of conflict? Because conflict is there, whether you like it or not, right?
I actually, Meredith, hear that a lot from students who will be in positions where they say, my boss won't listen to me. And if I speak up, I'm going to get a bad schedule or I'm going to get, you know, discarded or, you know, they won't listen to me anyways. So why should I speak up? Context impacts that greatly. Because you might rightly perceive you don't have the power. There is no point to speaking up against this power against you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so avoidance, if you find that you score low on this, meaning you don't use avoidance often, you may want to ask yourself if you find that people's feelings get hurt by you often. Do you find that you stir up hostilities? It's a rough one to ask. You want to say no to that, but I think it's good to be honest with yourself. Are you overwhelmed by the number of conflicts in which you are involved in? So do you find that there's a lot of conflicts going on around you?
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, then you may want to notice this. That's a good way of, because when I first hear avoidance, I want to go bad. Like I want to categorize these, right? Like good, bad, better, whatever. But if you're finding that you're not able to pick, I think that's a way of saying like, do not pick your battles well. Because there's conflicts everywhere you're at. Like, pick, you need to pick your battles better. Sometimes you got to avoid things.
Interesting. So when we're thinking about the profiles, and we talked about this last time, one of the things we observed was that if you could be flexible among the styles, that would be a very good use of this concept, that there would be times when avoidance might make sense. There would be times when collaboration might make sense, you know, all the different styles. That is a very interesting thing to talk about related to context. And so we've talked about a few different contexts, including like what we just referred to, which is when you don't feel in that context like you're actually an equal player. That would have some influence on how you treated the situation, right? Now, the other context that we could talk about is how we are working with other people. A lot of times people think of context as the situation, like dinner or the meeting. But we also think of context as the other person. The other person is a feature of the context or is the context. We have sort of good news, bad news related to this. We can talk about it when we have the same style preference as the other party, and we can also talk about it when we have different style preferences. So the first one is where we have more of something combined with more of something. So if you think about two people who prefer an avoidance style, if they're both very high in that, we could go back through the high list and say, so that would be tough because a lot of things wouldn't get talked about.
The people that are high in that, wouldn't they like that?
Yeah, but the problem is the work never gets done.
I don't disagree. I'm not loving that. I don't like a too much. I mean, it's balance, right? That's what we're trying to get at. Mm-hmm. It's a level in this, but it's almost like a dangerous combination if you're up against someone that's so similar to you that it doesn't let you practice the other things and them as well.
Right. So then you have same thing if you had competitive with competitive. I would guess you would have a lot of competition about who's right. Collaborative, I would say if you had high collaborative with high collaborative, you're going to struggle with having to have an exhausting conversation frequently where everything has to be talked about. Some smiles. I like that. If you want to see these smiles, you can check us out on YouTube, by the way.
I know. The 20-something-year-old me was smiling with that. 30s me is like smiling at 20-something-year-old Lee.
There you go. So then accommodating with accommodating is sort of like you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. One of the problems is not getting the attention that you deserve, right? Or suppressing emotions and just kind of yielding to the other person. So you can see that would have its complexities. Interestingly enough, the compromising is something to think about as well. Sometimes people who are compromising with other compromisers, they will get together and they will just settle. So they'll settle for maybe a lesser thing or lesser outcome. And in that settling, then maybe lose a piece of what would potentially have been there, right? That would be the struggle, I would think.
Oh, that's good professionally and personally to think about.
The other thing that we would talk about is when our styles differ greatly. Traditionally, we know that people in this area of styles work, they've done a lot of great work. But they have traditionally talked often about the style itself versus the distance between the other person's style and theirs. So I always say to my students, it's not the style, it's the distance. And what do I mean by that? If you're in a style and there's an obvious opposite, a far opposite, that's where the combination becomes more challenging. So let's create the two pairings where that's the most distant on our chart, which is the accommodator working with the competitor or the collaborator working with the avoider, because the very nature of the style preference they have is the thing they dislike. Let's put up the accommodator with the competitor. So the competitor wants to talk, wants to advocate for self, and the accommodator doesn't want to advocate for self, wants to yield. So you can see the distance is great between those two styles. If you think about the collaborator versus the avoider, you might have a collaborator who wants to hash everything out and really find like a win-win solution, but inherently avoidance is lose-lose, not wanting to engage. So the collaborator seeks great levels of engagement and the avoider seeks exactly not levels of engagement, the exact opposite. It's very crucial that we understand the distance we're encountering in that moment. It doesn't mean we only stay in these one styles. But sometimes we'll have an issue where somebody's really sure the idea they have is the right one, and somebody else is maybe not standing up for themselves. And both of those perspectives say things like, I just don't even get you. I don't even get like how you can think that. And if you're in an interaction and you hear people saying that, they're commenting on the distance between the style preference going on versus the style itself. So it's not bad to be competing. It's not bad to be avoiding in that moment. It's just we're so far apart. That's why we say things like, I don't get you. Why are we discussing this? I hear sometimes. Why are we even talking about this? Or how can you say that? We might say to another person.
So is there something that we can do when we know we're like on the other end of a spectrum in the style?
You know, it's a great question. I actually thought of a story of something that happened one time when I was teaching. It's very unusual for me to allow anyone from outside into the auditorium. And there was a mother visiting from out of town. And I actually let her come in the auditorium, which I never do. I don't know what got into me. She was visiting on the day we were doing styles. And we had the conversation about where do you want to go first? And my recollection was that she wanted to go to collaborating first and her daughter wanted to go to avoiding first when there was a conflict that would arise. Her daughter's in the auditorium. So we were kind of doing an exercise where we pick what's our preference. And then so she said when she saw the chart, she thought, oh, no, we move apart when a conflict happens. And that was a big revelation for her because she said, I didn't realize we went in the opposite direction as soon as the conflict occurred. I went towards wanting to talk it all through. Let's hash everything out. And she said, we need to take a break. Like, that's my first instinct is exactly not what you want. So the second part of the exercise was for us to then talk about our secondary style. When that style doesn't work out, what's your next preference? And they both picked compromising. And she came down after the lesson was over, after the, you know, exercise was over, and she said, I just got the biggest insight into my daughter that I haven't had in years because I know we do this, we square off. I'm demanding knocking on the door, we've got to talk about it. She's saying, just give me a minute, I can't do all that right now. And she said, after a while of time goes by, we end up really seeing eye to eye and compromising. And she said, I'm wondering if we should go straight there versus going in the opposite direction and having to manage that tension. A pretty interesting conversation. I never let anyone in, but I did that one time. I don't know what got into me.
So then would you start to learn in your relationships, okay, when I'm with this person and a conflict arises, this is where we're going to go. And when I'm Is that kind of then what the takeaway is you start to learn per person, per conflict?
So maybe if it's patterned, yes. And probably only the people we only really care about, not everybody. But what she said was we waste a lot of time expressing frustration about the other person's preference, mine for collaborating and her for avoiding. I complain, why don't you want to talk to me? And she says, why can't you let anything go? When we ultimately go to compromising, so she said, it seems more logical for us to start with compromising and not do all that tension. Pretty interesting insight.
Yeah, because it's in that tension that you tend to get all the hurt feelings and the regrettable things you say because you start fighting about not the actual fight and just how you're treating each other through the fight.
Yes. More damage. More words. More damage.
Yeah. And Taylor just took us in the circle of life.
All comes back.
Yeah.
So speaking of conflict with others.
Yes.
Got into it because I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to learn about Ralph.
Oh my God, I don't think there'll be any surprises.
Ralph is going to win the podcast probably again.
Her usual.
So what's the pattern? Is there a pattern?
When we used to fight early in marriage, I needed a big space. Mm-hmm. I couldn't talk about it right then. So I feel like that could kind of be this. That might have been my avoidance because I needed to understand the actual context before we could collaborate or whatever. I don't know. I think you knowing Ralph will not be surprised by his conflict style. But some of it kind of made me sad because he's pretty extreme.
Oh.
Of them. He is very, very high in accommodating.
Mm-hmm. I knew it.
He is very high in avoiding.
I knew it.
And very, very low in collaborating.
I did not know that.
Kind of interesting. Yeah. And then right in the middle, competition compromising.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay, so when I'm in a conflict with him, very high in competing, very high in collaborating.
So a lot of energy.
Low in compromise, low in avoidance, low in accommodating. Might make sense that he's very high in avoidance and very high in accommodating.
So he would let it go, and you would not want to let it go.
No, and I literally, 10 years together, just finally clicked that this is maybe bothering him. I need resolve.
That's why he lets you do the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you guys' distance is significant.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm high in these three, and he's high in the other two. So we fill out the whole score. We're a perfect little sandwich.
Little sandwich. I love how you just surrounded that.
I don't know what that sandwich would look like, but
well,
sure.
Well, I was thinking, I would think, oh my gosh, I there's such distance in how we do this. I'm like, hey, are we going to learn about it? And Taylor's like, we're just the perfect little sandwich.
Oh, I just always think, like, if I'm low in something, you got my back, and like, you need to be high in that. So like, I just think we're working on all cylinders.
I don't know if that's good in this case.
I know. I don't.
Opposites attract.
So then how do you work it out?
He accommodates me.
You explain to him why he's wrong, and then he gives in.
Yeah. Well, let's be fair. On this podcast, if you go back, check the receipts. Ralph wins everything. He's always the best at it. I always am wrong.
Okay.
So,
receipts.
He's very accommodating, but I think that he's always right. So hard for someone who can never admit they're wrong to be with someone always right.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Let's say you weren't in the relationship and you were giving advice to yourself and your spouse. What would you tell yourselves to do?
Probably do a lot more checking in.
Mm.
If it's more meaningful to someone, generally concede to that person.
Mm.
So kind of checking in, like, what's your level of desire on this thing? How big of an important object?
You know, that's really good.
Is it important to you? Is it worth fighting over? Is it worth compromising over? Is it worth competing for? You know, do you want to win? Do you want to give up or avoid completely? What I've learned over the last, especially last couple of years through doing this podcast, is just really talking before I know a situation is coming. So I know we're having the whole family come over, conflict's coming. Mm-hmm. What are my expectations? What are yours? I'm expecting this to happen. I need you to do this to either interfere.
Yeah.
Kind of like we're doing a lot more prep work, especially with my expectations. I've said exactly what I expect to be done beforehand to prep so that I am not a crazy person later.
And prep for the chaos.
Yeah. So we're doing a lot more work before conflict arises.
Mm-hmm.
Being proactive rather than being reactive. We've even talked about that.
Yeah.
You can't solve everything, and you're not going to prevent all conflict, like, accept it. Conflict is, you're alive. You're going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but.
Yeah, true.
All right, I'm curious about Senor Talk Talk.
Mr. Talk Talk? So we have similar styles. So that can be bad. It can also be good. So it's going to depend on the situation. And I would say one of our worst symmetries is when we're both competitive and trying to be right. It doesn't go super well. So I would say he's more accommodating than me. And that means he's a nicer person than me. But we already knew that.
I feel like you and I are on the same page here.
Well, we have a little bit. I wouldn't say it's extreme like that, because his scores are almost like very similar to mine in terms of where they are. Collaborating is the highest for him. And he's low in avoiding and accommodating, although he still accommodates more than I do, I think. We're pretty good at compromise and collaboration when we get there, but if we're not there automatically, that competitive area is the tough one.
So can we ask the same question to you that you asked to Taylor?
Yeah.
Would you say, what was the question? What would you say to yourself or to someone?
What advice would you give yourself? Mm-hmm. So I think that we could return back to Sharon Downey's advice that I referenced in the last episode, which is competition's useful when it's important to have a quick decision, or when discipline's required, or there is strong evidence that one position is more correct than another. But I think I would give the Kreisers advice to say, be careful about deciding that your perception is what makes it correct. So the warning is, you're not right because you believe you're right. You might be right because the car is, in fact, empty and has no gas in it. That's a more objective thing, but perception that I think I'm right because I just think it really hard. And I would give the Kreisers advice about being too sure about your point of view versus the other person's point of view. And probably both of us could make some adjustments about that.
Okay.
What about you, Mare?
I want to be a perfect little sandwich, like Taylor So I will say, Tommy took this, and after he was like, he was so Taylor. I feel like sometimes I married the male version of Taylor in some ways.
Really a lot.
But he was like, well, I took the test, but I think I should give you a couple more scores because I thought about everyone, and this is not how I would be all the time in work, and not how I would be with my parents and you. And he's like, I think I should redo it. And I told him, just give me a score. We can talk about that at another time. You're not going to be a cheater like Taylor. So Tommy is significantly higher in competing style than I am, which was not a surprise to me, just with his work ethic and just kind of his go-getterness.
Mm-hmm.
He is significantly lower on collaborating, though, than me, where I find myself very high. He's like borderline low. And then I think because, and I'm giving him credit, that he thought about so many relationships and thinking about this, he's pretty middle of the road on compromising and avoiding, which I thought was interesting.
So and mid.
He's middle of the road, and he's super low accommodating. So,
okay.
You like being married to me, Meredith.
It's interesting because he's a lot higher competing. We both are much higher, him competing, me collaborating. So in the more assertive scales, I find that we lean on different ones, which I kind of like and find interesting. And then the less assertive ones where I could be a bit higher, he's like, no, I'll compromise maybe.
So he'd make a deal but not give in?
Yeah, like the way he said it was, he's like, I'm not going to lose myself in it, but I'll strike a deal with you.
You know? Yeah, that does sound like you married Taylor.
Yeah. Which is great. It's great. She just had a couple parts missing for me, that's all.
Wow. Oh, my.
You can cut that.
You can't.
Oh, my
God. Okay, but anyway, this is super interesting to me because maybe it's the weird brain in me, but I was expecting him to be like super high here, I don't know why, but I felt the flair for Tommy to be like much higher just in competing, collaborating, but then it was interesting that he kind of blended. I don't know.
Is he practical?
Literally the most practical person I have ever encountered in my entire life.
Okay, because that's what it sounds like. It's like, well, if I have to avoid it, I will. I'll drop it. If I need to compromise it, I'll do that. I'm not going to overly give in because that's not going to help anyone.
Yep.
But if I'm going to win,
I will win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Literally, oh my gosh, it makes me laugh so hard. Like in initially dating him, even my sister said that, like, this is like literally the most practical person I've ever. Like everything that he does and buys is practical.
Yeah. What advice would you give yourself?
So practical versus, or not versus, but with someone like me who.
Do you think you're idealistic?
Me?
Yeah.
Or us?
You.
Me? I think I can be. Yeah.
I was trying to think if the collaboration, that high desire to collaborate, is idealistic.
Success.
/ unrealistic.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Dream world upstairs big time.
No, because a lot of times people say, we can win. We can talk it through and it'll get there. And it's pretty hard to get there.
I want to. So bad. Yeah. I have a big desire for that. So I'd say there's nothing wrong with the heart of wanting everyone's success, but it's okay to let things go. Tommy's his own perfect sandwich. I have nothing to say to him.
I can't remember, what was your tendency towards compromising?
Compromising? I'm in the middle. Okay. Avoiding and accommodating. I'm all like basically the same level.
Okay. All right. So then do you give in more? You must.
Yeah, I give in more because when someone's so practical and reasonable all the time, it's difficult not to give in to them.
Oh, yeah.
But then I wonder, if I were to think solely about my partner, I think like Taylor, I think my competition would go higher. And I don't know why that is. I could see competing going way up.
Could it be because that relationship is the most meaningful to you? I'm not going to let anything slide because I don't want any kind of resentment or conflict to stay within the marriage. I want everything resolved because this is the most important relationship I have. And I want to make sure everything is resolved, every feeling.
But Taylor, people could say the same thing about accommodating. I accommodate because I value this relationship so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But a loss of self, that is...
I'm not saying it's how you want to do it. Yeah. I'm just saying people might drop things too and say, I'm not going to go into this for the sake of our marriage.
Yeah, like my peace is more worth whatever.
So you could apply that thinking to any of the decisions of whether to engage in a style or not. But I like the idea that it's relationship and situationally dependent, so that context is a primary matter. We dictate what we do in that context.
Right. We get to choose each time we have a conflict how we're going
That's
to
right.
respond, right?
The other thing that I would say to my students that say, oh, I'm, you know, 100% competitive or 100% accommodating or whatever their style preference is that's very strong, I would say it's probably time to think about using some of the other styles some of the time, because there aren't situations across the board where always accommodating is the best idea or always competing is the best idea or any of the styles. Always avoiding, always compromising, always collaborating.
I have to say, I'm really starting, as a part two of this, I'm really starting to believe what you just said. Because at first, like, I want so badly for one to be better than the other or for, like,
yeah,
because I felt like I was leveling myself lower on some that I didn't want to fail so bad. So it's just not true. Like, if I could go back and re-listen to the last episode, we talked about this and this, it is true what you're saying, that the context, like, who are you having the conflict with? What's the time and place? One doesn't win over the other.
And what type of relationship?
Yeah.
But I do think that the lack of flexibility is a warning sign here. So for any of you listening where you say, I choose avoidance almost all the time, or I choose competitive almost all the time, or whatever style preference, that I think is an indication of a lack of flexibility or a lack of choosing flexibility. We wouldn't want to support the idea that, you know, it's just a strong preference, so I'm just going to do it all over town. You know, just in every relationship, I'm going to choose that thing, and I'm just going to compete with everybody. And I don't think that gets us very far. And those questions about, are you very high in something or very low in something, those are really compelling because it means we're not using that style very much if we're low, or we're using it or maybe overusing it when it's very high.
Dang.
Hard lessons in these.
What I was kind of thinking about was our episode with Carrie on people pleasing.
Yes, I was thinking about that one.
That is one I didn't ever think about it, but I guess my husband is completely a people pleaser. And I've had that conversation with him so many times. I want to know what you want. I want to know how I can be a better wife. I want to know how I can be a better, like, XYZ. And it's really frustrating when I don't know how to give you what you want because you won't say what you want because you just want to accommodate. So it's, you know, something for us both to work on together, I guess.
Now, you said that he is middle range on competition?
Yeah.
Competing
and compromising.
So then would another solution be to just have sharper vision for when he is expressing a concern for self and saying, I want to intentionally acknowledge that and try to accommodate that when it appears?
Yes. And that has been something we worked through, where he has a story in his head that I am going to do something. So he won't even try to, like, get his way because he just thinks that I'm going to, like, nix that. And I've gone out of my way to, like, be very inclusive in when he expressed he wanted time management changed. And I went on my way to really try and focus on doing it as he asked. But then when day-to-day comes and he doesn't ask for it because he thinks, oh, well, it's not going to happen.
Hmm. So then that gets back to what we talked about in the last episode, which is the behaviors, some of them get supported and rewarded. So he gets rewarded for not speaking up.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing in myself, too, that it's important to keep a bit of an open mind with another person and how they're having conflict with you and why they're having a conflict with you and the way they are. It just goes, I mean, we've talked about similar things before, like really studying the person that you love and the relationship mm-hmm. you're in.
Yeah.
Friend, coworker, sibling, family member, parent, child.
Yeah.
To understand why and ask. Don't assume. Ask why. Why are you not saying what you want right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's keeping you from doing that? We're asking more questions. Damn, this is hard.
I think part of it is to devote the time to doing that. You could listen to these two episodes and think a lot about your own conflict styles and when you use it and when you don't and when you're high in this and you're low in that. But maybe even more important would be to analyze the relationships you want to keep in the same way and really study your association with those preferences and start thinking, is there something I can do to support more of their voice versus less of their voice? Maybe this is a good way to end this is don't expect people to be in your same preference. And they're not wrong because they don't share your preference. That's a harsh reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you want to talk it out doesn't mean talking it out was the right thing. Because you want to drop it doesn't mean dropping it was the right thing. So we have to get really acquainted with those things that are frequently occurring in patterns and understand what's going on there. And if at the heart of it, it's that I just think I'm right.
Well, I am so human. This is a very humbling conversation for me. That's a good thing.
I like it.
Once again, thank you for joining us today. Please remember to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. And thank you for listening to Asking for a Friend.
Let us know what you thought of the episode. Our email is hello@afafpodcast.com. This show is for educational purposes only and is copyrighted. Written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting. Thanks for listening to Asking for a Friend with Talk Doc.